praise, Lord, church. Let's worship Jesus together. Hallelujah.
As we wait, seek your face, come and make your throne upon our graves. Ye in this place, have your way. The moment that we see you, we are changed. Show us your glory. Show
show us your glory. Show us your glory. God. It's so good to feel the presence of the Lord, to be together with God's people. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Gospel Church. We're glad you're joining us. We're worshiping in spirit and in truth. And God is responding by His Holy Spirit. I trust that where you are, you can feel His presence. And if not, reach out. The Bible says He's not far from any one of us if only we'll feel after Him. Praise God. It's so good to be in God's presence. Welcome. We want to remind everyone, we will give you the opportunity to participate by giving. If it's your first time worshiping with us, we'd like to connect with you. You can connect online. They'll be posted there on your screen, the website, the your ability to contact us, or of course you can always use snail mail or telephone and contact us that way. We want to hear from you, especially if you have an experience with God, being born again during this service or immediately following. I believe God wants to fill someone with His Spirit, and if you will seek it, He will do it. Amen. A couple of announcements after including our giving. You can visit online, cgcmadison.org/giving. You can mail your offering to 5301 Commercial Avenue, or you can text to give. The number there is on your screen. And you want to designate your offering, tithes, offering, or missions, or if it's a special offering, identify it as such. Praise God. Coming up December 6th and 9th, we will have some very special services with some very special people. Steve and Terry Spears will be with us, and they will be bringing us the Word of the Lord, and also their very enjoyable personalities. So we're looking forward to that. December 6th and 9th, we'll let you know whether we're going to have in-person services or not. Either way, we want to encourage you to be a part of that because you will be blessed. God will minister to you through this amazing couple. Amen. Coming up also is Christmas. Hard to believe, but we're already there. And we want to give a challenge to all of the members of Calvary Gospel Church. Between December 13th and the 22nd, we're challenging everyone to have an effort to reach out to someone as a result of the love of God that dwells in you. Show them the Christmas joy that God has given you. Make a homemade card or a door hanger or an ornament, maybe some baked goods, and deliver it to someone's home. You know, put it on their porch, ring the doorbell. Especially, we want to keep in mind our older members of Calvary Gospel Church, or perhaps those who are sick and you know are confined to their home. Let's reach out to one another, or maybe to your neighbor, someone you've been talking to, someone you've been trying to show the love of God. And if you decide to include caroling in that, please limit your group to 10 people or less. If you have any questions about how to go about this, or if you want some ideas, contact Lois Grant here at church, extension 314, and she will give you additional information. Amen. Along with that news about Christmas, I want to let you know that this is the time of year when we promote what is our annual fundraising drive for North American missions. It's called Christmas for Christ. We have a video to introduce that idea.
Every church starts as a church plant, and no matter where a person goes to church, that church was at one point a new church.
My wife and I came to Austin, Texas in April of 1992, and we held services in our home for the first few weeks. It took time. It was slow, but slowly but surely, we saw God give the increase.
Spread the gospel, we don't really have an alternative to planting churches.
The only way we're going to evangelize a metro area is to have many different churches.
And North America Missions is about planting churches.
In 1952, when Home Missions was put into the strategy of the United Pentecostal Church, there were only 1,321 churches. In 2015, we had 4,602 churches with 9,746 ministers in 212 nations and territories around the world. For the first 15 years, North American Missions existed without any specific source of funding. But in the 1960s, Reverend Jack Yontz, a church planter in Madison, Wisconsin at Calvary Gospel Church, our own church, Brother Yontz conceived the idea of giving their family's biggest gift to Jesus. Instead of giving each other extravagant gifts that would fade in time, they would give to another church planting family something that would never fade. That first Christmas for Christ started in the Yontz's living room, and their Home Missions church gave $1,000 that year to the cause of Home Missions. A nearby church heard about it, and they did the same. It began to spread, and in 1967, Christmas for Christ, CFC, was launched as a national program under Director Haskell Yaden. This particular idea of giving your biggest Christmas gift to Jesus is the founding premise of Christmas for Christ. From that tiny oak of possibility sprang a ministry that has impacted North America and the entire world. When Christmas for Christ went national in 1967, the offering was just over $109,000. In 2004, the offering was $3.6 million. Since 1967, over $70 million plus has been invested into church planters in North America. Christmas for Christ produces the majority of funds for church planting efforts in our districts throughout the United States. 40% of each district's Christmas for Christ offering remains in the district. 40% of the money you give to Christmas for Christ stays here in Wisconsin, and it is used for evangelism and planting churches here in our own state. This year, the Stoughton Church, pastored by Brother Thomas, which was originally a daughter work of Calvary Gospel Church, will be eligible for Christmas for Christ funds. Christmas for Christ and North American Missions pays a direct dividend. An offering to Christmas for Christ has one of the strongest returns on any investment or any contribution made in the United Pentecostal Church. There's a dividend of evangelism and discipleship, of preachers developed and released, of new churches multiplied, giving to overseas missions, a dividend of district growth and leadership development for every section and district involved, and a dividend of district health through vibrant new growth. Again, we have the opportunity to give our best, our biggest gift, to Jesus Christ. One method that we're using to encourage giving is something that we've done in the past here at Calvary Gospel Church, and it's the Christmas for Christ envelope method. And what we've done in the past was we've set these envelopes down on the front of the platform here, and people have come and picked up an envelope. On each envelope is a number that indicates the amount, the minimum amount that you're going to give to Christmas for Christ. And that's kind of a way of making a pledge to yourself and to the Lord that this is my goal, this is what I'm going to do. But of course, we're not here today in person, so I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider what amount you will give. These envelopes are numbered from 1 to 200, and we also have a couple here for those who are really interested. One for $1,000, one for $2,500, one for $5,000, one for $10,000. You get the idea. However much you feel that you can give to the work of God this Christmas season, write that down. Maybe on an envelope, on a piece of paper. Set it aside. Put it on your bulletin board. And between now and December 20th, set that money aside. Find ways to come up with it. Even make a sacrificial offering for Christmas for Christ. We have one more video we want to show you, and we will continue.
Instead of spending money on yourself so much during this Christmas, why don't you take that money and invest it in souls? It goes directly to the field for new churches to get started. And instead of spending so much on ourselves, let's spend something on somebody else. I want to thank you for your gift and for your willingness to give and sacrifice for Christmas for Christ. It means so much. Souls that will be saved will thank you. Everyone involved in this program will thank you for your gift and for your willingness to share.
Kingdom comes.
Every
Let's take a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. In Jesus' name, I feel the presence of God right now, and I'm asking that you turn your heart to the Lord and let the presence of the Lord minister to you in this moment. We have a lot of brothers and sisters who are struggling with illness, some of them with COVID-19, some with other situations and conditions. Let's keep them in mind and keep them in prayer. Let's pray for our government leaders, local and county and state and national leaders. We know there's a lot of transition going on and a lot of disagreement. But the Bible says that we're called to be the light of the world, that we should be like a city set upon a hill. So let's pray that we can be the answer to the problems that our world is facing today. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness in our hearts and in our minds, for your faithfulness to everyone who looks to you and calls on your name. We pray, oh God, for these brothers and sisters, for the Powells and for Sister Puckett and for the Nelsons and so many others that are struggling with health and other situations. We pray for the body of Christ, the family of God. We're separated by space and time, but we are all together in your presence. And in this moment, I pray, Holy Ghost, that you would move through the body of Christ and touch every member, especially those, oh God, who are struggling, who are ill, who have sickness. We pray for virtue. We pray for healing. We pray for anointing, oh God, to flow from your presence. And I pray, oh God, for this ailing nation, this community we live in, Lord, is struggling with this crisis of health, as well as the turmoil of government and politics. Lord, help us, Jesus, to be a light to our neighbors, to our friends, to our family members. Help us, God, to be the balm of healing that ministers to the needs that exist. Pour out your spirit upon your people and upon this land, I pray, for your name's sake, for your kingdom's sake. We ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad that I know Jesus Christ. I know that it's not because of who I am, but because of who he is. Not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done. I'm glad at this time when so many people are searching and struggling that I know where to look and that I have a support and a help that is greater than any circumstance. Praise God. I would ask you to open your Bible or your tablet or your iPad or your laptop or desktop or whatever, or your phone, whatever device you have, to Hebrews 12. And I'm going to read some verses that may be very familiar to you and to me. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. I'm going to use an analogy that the scripture uses, and sometimes we feel that, you know, maybe this is a tired analogy, but it is nonetheless a scriptural avenue, a scriptural idea. So I want to take advantage of that and talk about athletic games in the light of spiritual truth. Of course, this passage, most people feel that it's talking about athletic games, the same type of games that originated with the Olympic games that we have now. Many people liken this passage to the end of a marathon, in which the runners enter into the stadium after running for 26 plus miles, and they come into the stadium and there's the crowd all around. Now, I don't know for sure that that's exactly what Paul was addressing or that's what he was talking about, but it fits. At the very least, the concept of a crowd of people watching an athletic competition. Paul's using that as an analogy to help us understand that there are those who have gone before us, and there are those who are gathered around us, who are on our side, who are cheering us on, who are hoping that we succeed in this spiritual battle, this spiritual contest that we find ourselves in. This passage immediately follows what we call the faith chapter in Hebrews 11. And if you were to read the faith chapter, you would see many of the greatest names of the Bible. I guess the modern day terminology would be the GOATs, the greatest of all time. People like Abel and Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah. Brother Mackey just preached about this last week. Made a very important point, I think, that some of these lived and some of these were killed by the opposition. Some suffered at the hands of those enemies of faith and some succeeded in avoiding suffering through the hand of God, but all were considered to be men and women of faith. We call this chapter the Hall of Faith. Some of us, it's a takeoff on the modern concept of the Hall of Fame. And if you're any kind of sports fan, you know that there are halls of fame for football and baseball and basketball, and probably there's a Hall of Fame here at the University of Wisconsin for sports personalities. I've been to the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame. My wife and I and her family, we went through there. It's inside of the hallowed walls of Lambeau Field. And there we saw the greatest Packers of all time. The images on the wall, almost, I guess you could call them shrines to these great athletes. But Hebrews 1 and 2 follows up the Hall of Faith, this list of the greatest of all time in the Bible. And the writer of Hebrews says, now you're the competitors. Now you're running the race. Now the crowds are watching you. And it's up to you to compete and to succeed and to finish the race. You're on the field. You are the players. I'd like to speak about a spiritual player. A spiritual player. Now, that word player, that has a little bit of a strange connotation in our day and our age. A player isn't always someone on a team. It's someone who's manipulating for his own purposes. A player is someone who's taking advantage of other people, and especially in the realm of relationships. And that's not what I'm talking about. That's not the kind of player I'm referring to. I'm talking about someone who's part of a team, someone who's involved in a event, a contest. Of course, Paul also talks about the spectators that are surrounding the players. And this idea of being a spectator is something we try to work against in the Christian faith. We're not called to be spectators of faith. We're called to be actors of faith. We're called to be ministers of faith. We're called to, faith is something you do. And that's the point that the writer of Hebrews is trying to make. Don't be a spectator, but be a player. Be a spiritual player. Now, I'm a Wisconsin Badger fan. And also a Packer fan, but really a Badger fan. When I was a student at the University of Wisconsin, I had season tickets. And that was when they didn't win very many games, but I still went to the games. And I was still a fan, and I've been a fan ever since. But many of us know that this year, because of COVID-19 restrictions, and because of some of the members of the Badgers squad and some of the members of opposing teams, they haven't been able to play all of their games. They just haven't been able to compete. They haven't been able to do what they're here to do. I know that these are student athletes, but the reason they're here in Madison, Wisconsin, and the reason they're on the Madison campus is because they're players, because they're on the team. And that's why they're here. That's what they want to do. That's part of their identity. And I'm sure it's very difficult for them to not be able to compete, for not be able to put themselves to the test. This is why they're here. Many of them hope to do this professionally. So it's not just a game to them. They're players. They're on the team. They're not now, I'm a spectator. Yesterday they didn't have a game. So didn't really affect my life all that much. As a matter of fact, it gave me an opportunity, my wife and I, to take a walk. We went for a nice long walk. It was a beautiful day. We had some. I made a lot of phone calls. There were a lot of things I got done when I would have otherwise been a spectator for the Badger football game. But for them, it made a difference. That's the difference between a player and a spectator. Now, I'm not on that team, but I've been on a lot of teams. I tried to count up the number of sports teams that I've been on since I was a child. My first team that I was on was T-ball when I was 7 years old. And because my brother worked for the recreation department, they made me a captain, which didn't really mean anything when you're 7 years old and it's T-ball. And I just picked a bunch of friends, and we did not win one game. And as a matter of fact, the one person that they put on my team, that I didn't know him, I didn't know who he was or where he came from, he was the only person on the team that made the All-Star team. So that was my first team experience. But I counted up all through high school and some of my college years. I did a lot of intramural sports. Somewhere between 30 and 35 different teams that I was on. So I know what it means to be a player, but I didn't always play on all those teams either. A lot of times I was on the sidelines. They call it warming the bench. I did some of that too. You see, there's a difference between being a part of an active part of the team, someone who's contributing, and someone who's just a spectator. And there are degrees in between there. Now I'm a spectator. Sometimes I think I could still do some of that stuff, but it takes me about a minute and a half for my body to convince me otherwise that no, you can't. Now, there's a difference. Well, the whole time I was growing up, I lived about three blocks from a city park in my hometown. And that's where myself and my other, I guess you'd call them street kids, are my friends, we would all gather there all year round. And we would... During the summer, we'd play baseball. During the fall, we'd play football. We'd pick up, you know, we'd pick teams. And we would play until it broke out into a fight between one person and another about whether they were safe or they were out. Or it was a lot less formal than being on a team. There's some people that think that Christianity is a pickup game. That Christianity is a sandlot experience, that we can all get together and we can decide the rules and play any way we want, and it doesn't matter because we are Christians after all. It's just that we were playing baseball, but we weren't playing by all the right rules all the time, and we were making up our own ideas. And I'm talking about being a spiritual player, a real player. Someone who's part of the team. I remember some of those friends from the sandlot when I joined the Little League team. And of course, we had to practice all the time. We had to show up. If you didn't show up for practice, you didn't play in the game. If you didn't show up for practice, you didn't stay on the team. We had certain rules that we had to abide by, that we had to commit to. But after we practiced for a certain amount of time, then came the season, and we were issued our uniforms. And I remember one of my friends from the sandlot said, "You mean you get to wear uniforms?" And as far as I was concerned, that wasn't what it was about. It was about playing the game, being a player. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Know you not They that which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. That means there's self-discipline. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly. I'm not just playing in the sandlot. I'm not just making up my own rules as I go along. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. But I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Of course, we had coaches, we had organization in Little League and what was called Babe Ruth, the league for the older kids. And of course, the high school sports are highly organized. There were a couple of years, maybe one or two, where at least a season where I wasn't on a team. And I found it hard to be a spectator, to be in the stands and not be a part of the action on the floor, or at least be part of the team. Too many of us as Christians think that somehow Paul was talking about us when he said that we need to run the race, when in fact our Christian walk has been a practice of spectatorship. We've been in the stands. We've been cheering on the preacher and cheering on the musicians. And too much of our Christianity has been focused on the people in the middle of the event, when in fact, Christianity is all about the body of Christ, about every member. Every Christian should be a spiritual player. Every one of us, this is this time, this hour we're living in, the struggles that we're encountering, it's determining who's the spectators and who's the players. Praise God. Are we praying at home? Am I engaging in worship without someone in front of me playing an instrument? Am I reading my Bible? Am I talking to people about the Lord? Am I finding ways to interact with other Christians? These are all scriptural principles, scriptural activities. This determines whether or not we're on the team or whether we're in the stands. This is no time to be a spectator. I played a lot of baseball and basketball and football just for fun. Just for fun. I've also warmed the bench in almost every sport I participated in at one time or another. But now, and my face is in the team picture, even on the teams where I didn't play much. But we can't afford to be spectators. We can't afford to sit on the bench. Jeremiah put it this way. Jeremiah 12:5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, if it was hard for you to worship when you came to church, if it's hard for you to witness when you're not in a group of other Christians, if it's hard for you to do the things that Christians do when you're on your own, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with the horses? And if a land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, if you found it hard to get along with other Christians, how will thou do in the swelling of Jordan when the floods come? For even thy brethren in the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called the multitude after thee, believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. Of course, this is the prophet Jeremiah speaking to Israel, and God speaking to Jeremiah personally about the time of hardship that Israel is experiencing because of the unfaithfulness of God's people and because of the judgments of God that will come upon them. I'm not saying we're in the same boat as Israel at the time of their judgment, but I am saying this, that the horses are coming, that we are in a place that we haven't been before. And now is the time to get to practice, to show up on time, to be a part of what God is doing, to engage in spiritual disciplines, to look for opportunities to be active in the Christian faith. I remember a lot of hours waiting on the sideline to get in the game. Just want to get in the game. Praise God. This is our opportunity to get in the game, to be a spiritual player. If our musicians could come. When I was in high school, I was on the football team. I've talked about this before, I think, in services. But by the time I was a senior in high school, most of the sophomores on the football team were bigger than I was. I was a kind of a small guy, all of about 5'6", maybe. Weighed all of about 135, 140 pounds. My name on the roster that they handed out at the football games, it said 145 pounds next to it. But that was a lie. That was maybe with all of my equipment on a fat day. I was on the team. But I played all of about, 8 minutes maybe in the whole year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think that God is calling all of us to be spiritual players. This is the time when God's children need to allow Him to anoint us. Because when He anoints us, we can do things that we did not think we were able to. You know, I mentioned all of the teams that I was on, they had some kind of uniform. There was something that was part of the admission, if you will, onto the team. You knew you were on the team the day that you got your uniform. You got your number. I made it. I'm part of this. And when you put on your uniform and you went out on the floor, you went out on the field, you knew you were part of that team. Praise God. The Bible says that we put on Jesus Christ, that we are clothed in righteousness. If you've been a spectator, if you've just watched Christianity all of your life, I'm telling you, you can wear the uniform. You can become part of the team. You can become a spiritual player. God wants to wash your sins away. God wants to fill you with His Spirit. There's a thing we do here at Calvary Gospel Church that comes right out of the Bible. Do exactly what the apostles did. When someone wants to give their heart to God, wants to get on the team, if you will, we ask them to make a commitment to Jesus Christ, not to us, but to Him in repentance, to ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins, to wash our sins away, to all the sins we've committed up to that point. He will forgive us if we repent and determine to change with His help. The uniform comes when we put on Jesus Christ in water baptism. The Bible says our sins are washed away and He never remembers them again. We get a fresh start. We put on Jesus. And then in order to empower us to be successful, He promises to come and live inside of us by filling us with His Spirit. Praise God. You can have that opportunity. You can have that experience even today, right where you are. You can lift up your hands while we sing this last song and we worship God. If you will just be willing to call out in Jesus' name and ask Him to forgive you for any sin that you have committed. I know we can't remember everything we've ever done, but if you will surrender your heart and ask His forgiveness, He will forgive and He will fill you with the Holy Spirit. You'll know He's done it when your language, your praise, your prayer comes out in a language that you never knew. He can do that. Praise God. Let us know, and we will be glad to baptize you in Jesus' name. We'll be glad to wash your sins away in the name of Jesus Christ according to the Word of God. Please consider this. Consider taking a home Bible study. Consider contacting Calvary Gospel Church. We want to help you through this terrible time, through this time of stress and struggle. We want to help you become more than a spectator in spiritual things, but enable and empower you to become a spiritual player. Jesus Christ wants to live inside of you. Jesus Christ wants to change your life and give you a new start. God bless you.
Fighting for us, heaven's angels all around. My delight is found in knowing that you wear the victor's crown. You're my help and my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. At the mention of your greatness, at your name I will bow down. In your presence fear is silent, for you wear the victor's crown. Let your glory fill this temple, let your power overflow. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. Hallelujah.
Thank you for being with us this morning. God is so good. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world around us. Doesn't matter whether we are able to go wherever we will or we're confined to one place. He is always with us. He promises to never be far from us if only we'll reach out to Him. I'm so grateful that I know I'm never alone. Praise God. We want to express our gratitude to our online guests. We've had people from all over the state of Wisconsin. We're glad that you've been with us. People from Iowa and Illinois and Missouri, South Dakota, Ohio and Colorado and Kansas. Thanks for joining us. Bring someone with you next time. God is good all the time, and His word is always true, and we're grateful for you being here with us. Remember to pray for those who are struggling with illness, and please remember to spread Christmas cheer. The Bible says that we have the joy of the Lord, and that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We have something that the world can't give, but God has given to us to share with others. God bless you in Jesus' name.